Kathleen and Tony McCarry in Fannad. It's their silver wedding wedding anniversary today. Have a lovely day from Eddie and Rose and family. My mum Angela Friel from Boncrana turns 90 today. Is there any chance it could be mentioned on the radio? Of course. She'd be chuffed to pieces. She's been an avid listener since Highland Radio started broadcasting, from her daughter Annette, Breda, Doreen and Karen. Have a wonderful birthday, Angela Friel, listening to us in Boncrana. It's great to have you with us. Listening to us. Do not allow the work of well-respected Father Paddy to be lost with threats of non-attendance at Mass, etc. This action would undo years of building a strong Christian community in Kilmacrenan. Father Paddy's work is well recognised. Perhaps his time, his wonderful way, be shared in other areas needing his input and support. And I know that Father McKeever and Father Chambers will look after the parish and its fine people very well. Another, the people of Termin are being selfish and not making it easy for Father Paddy. Much as I emphasise or empathise with their loss of Father Paddy, they do need to understand that a change of spiritual leadership brings a challenge and revitalisation to the parish and for both priests on their new appointments. We live in a time where the church has seen a decline in vocations, and mergers are essential to maintain that the laity are adequately served by the clergy. All right, thank you for that. The bishop has said he hears the voices, but I feel that he is not listening to the clear and overwhelming message that the people of Kilmacrenan want to keep both their priest and parish. Bishop Allen must press the pause button today and take time to engage with the people. But again, he has been really clear that that's not the way it's going to be. I share the sorrowful sentiments of the Kilmacrenan parish. I've known Father Paddy for over 30 years, but I see where the bishop stands in a way. Father Paddy succeeded in doing something amazing for the Kilmacrenan parish during his time there. He took up the baton at a very dark period for the parish, but he restored the light in a big way. So let's be glad for him and let him know we're all just a phone call away. And still, they continue to come in. Thank you so very much indeed for all of your messages today. Now, Martin McDermott is Community and Social Enterprise Assistant Manager with the Donegal Local Development Company. He joins us now. Good morning, Martin.
Morning, Greg.
Good to have you on the programme. Right, okay. So we're talking today, are we, about innovating communities. It's a free training and mentoring project. What's this all about, Martin?
Yeah, well, the Innovating Communities project has been going on for a few years now. Delivered by Ice Cream Architecture, but supported by DLDC through the community development team and the leader team. Various communities in Donegal were invited to take part in various training and mentoring programs, one of which that we're talking about today is Dunfanaghy. So last year, from mid to late last year, the community in Dunfanaghy were invited and taken part in a training kind of program where it was like maybe weekly or fortnightly courses online, where they were identifying maybe a particular challenge in their community and then ways then that they could find solutions to address that or to overcome that. So the community and Dunfanaghy have been going through that process with ourselves. We were co-trainers on the project, and now we've got to the stage where their survey in the community has been complete, and we're now ready to launch the results of that survey to the people in Dunfanaghy.
Brilliant. What was the interest like last year in this process? Because it's a different way of doing things, isn't it? It's, you have to have a good level of buy-in for people to sort of fully engage in the process.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was great support and interest initially, like with lots of things, Greg. So where there are, and it has to be from the people in the community, and it's led by the people in the community. So you do have a lot of interest at the start, and then as you, it's a commitment. So there's a big time commitment for people, and it's voluntary. So, you know, people are giving up their time, and sometimes the courses were in the afternoon or they were in the evening. And as I said, they were online. Some we did hold in person too, and we did try to get together physically when possible. And then throughout to the end process, we still had a good representation there and commitment from people that they wanted to see, you know, as the course title was called, A Shared Vision for Dunfanaghy. So they wanted to see the process, they wanted to see it through, and they wanted to get to this result stage now where they actually have, here's the evidence, we've done a community survey, and this is what people are asking for, this is people are identifying, and then let's now take it to the next stage, which is what we're going to do on Sunday, which is launch the results and then invite people to become involved in what we can maybe achieve short and long term.
Yeah, and I presume you want the people of Dunfanaghy to be the first to hear it on Sunday, so I won't ask for any details, but maybe give us a sense of, even maybe generally speaking, when we have this type of engagement, is it about the an area's infrastructure? Is it about parking? Or is it about facilities? Is it about sewage? Like, what kind of stuff falls under the sort of the umbrella of this whole project, generally speaking, about an area?
Okay, well, each particular challenge in Nunavut communities was different, and it was actually specific to the community. In Dunfanaghy, the survey was focused on there was quite a few key areas, obviously the demographics, but also like the development of Dunfanaghy, the services that are existing or you'd like to see existing there, employment and recreational opportunities. So there was a lot there. And from the survey results, once the results have been collated and they've been analysed, it's really brought what we call a roadmap. It's really brought together like kind of key areas of a roadmap. And from that, then it's the different directions that you can go. So the key things that we're looking at is the development on Dunfanaghy for the community, the services that people would like to, and this is all like future projects that they would like to see, recreational activities, the community activities, the services and so on. So that's kind of what has been kind of identified. And the purpose now of this event is to say, well hang on, these are now what's been identified. Where do we go from here? So this is why it's called a roadmap, as in like we're at a junction now. So let's do, we can identify that this is achievable short term, this is achievable long term, and who's involved or what are the vehicles that we need to kind of go down that road.
So presumably then, say for instance, if it were we want a playground here, let's just say that for an example, right? And that was one of the priorities. So what happens next? I mean, obviously then you don't fundraise and build it yourself, presumably. You have to start engaging with the council or whomever is the responsible authority. And I presume you would hope, would it, that then the local authority or whomever's responsible gives extra weight to these types of proposals because of the process that was gone through to get to where we are now.
Yeah, well, that's it, Greg, because, I mean, what we do in DLDC with the community development team, we support the local community groups, so we can help them and we can support them with assistance that we can provide, but it's really driven by the local community and by the groups there. So what they have now is evidence. So we can support them, say, with maybe direction for funding or applying for funding or helping them with that. But when you go through that process, and lots of people will be familiar, you need to identify the needs. So where's the evidence? So here is the evidence now, because a very recent survey has taken place late 2022. So we now have the results of that survey to substantiate, hang on, this is now what the people are looking for. And that will help you lobby for, if it is, as you say, for the local council or whatever the funder is.
Yeah.
So it's that evidence now that, hang on, we have the need here. So let's now use this evidence to address now the development. And it may be fundraising, it may be looking for funding. So everything you're saying is not.
Yeah, but I have not had side to this, but I'm really conscious of the fact that if it feels like we're talking about it before it's publicly announced, that's why I'm trying to be general and pick random things. So the Dunfanaghy Community Survey and Roadmap will be held in Holy Trinity Parish Hall on Sunday, this coming Sunday, the 21st, from 3 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. DLDC, Martin, who represents them, are facilitating the meeting in conjunction with Dunfanaghy Family Resource Centre. So what, other than this being laid out, the findings of the survey and the roadmap, is there a discussion at that point, or what's next from there, Martin?
Okay, so on Sunday, well, come along and you'll have some refreshments. So we're so you can have a cup of tea, you can have a chat, you can meet other people, like people that were involved in the survey. Like the survey was like not all residents. Like you may have people that maybe are working in Dunfanaghy, but they live outside the town, or holiday home residents, or visitors to Dunfanaghy. So it's really for all the community, not just the local residents. So come together, let's have a chat. We can launch the results, we can discuss the, like kind of what is achievable, who's behind who wants to get behind it, who wants to become involved. And from there, it's really making a plan. So it's a community discussion really than like a launch. It is a launch event, but it's going to be opportunities for those attending to have their say, maybe contribute to what projects they'd like to be involved in, and then whatever supports are available for that. So yeah, it's really just having that opportunity to contribute.
Yeah, and I think you've done a great job in articulating it, but I think it'll all become far more apparent when people turn up on the day, because there's a process to be gone through, and a cup of tea and coffee and a biscuit as well.
That's it, and a chat.
You might even open up the good box of biscuits.
well, it's Sunday.
All right, Martin, take care of yourself. Thanks very much indeed. Bye. Martin McDevitt, Community and Social Enterprise Assistant Manager with DLDC. That's the Dunfanaghy Community Survey and Roadmap. It's being revealed in the Holy Trinity Parish Hall this Sunday from 3 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Hopefully there's a nice big turnout there. Right, so we posted about someone spotting what they believe to be aliens in the sky over Letterkenny last night. I'm pretty much convinced it's the SpaceX Elon Musk satellite. They're astonishing things all in a line. But anyway, some of your posts on social media, Bernie says, if we were asked to go with them, you should have, as it can't be any worse than this planet at the moment. Anyway, they won't hang around here for long. That's if they were aliens. I don't think so. Patsy says, seen something, but was around 10 o'clock. Wasn't an aeroplane. Check flight radar and flight scanner. I seen Starlink. I'm confusing it with SpaceX. I seen Starlink before. Watched them from Dunluce around New Year a few years back. This wasn't Starlink, they say. Right, okay. Mary says, though, definitely Musk's Starlink satellites. They can be seen as a string of lights at times, depending on the position of the sun. There are about 3,500 of them in the sky. John says, this is what I seen too, a line of satellites passing overhead. So some aliens would bring a bit of excitement, wouldn't they? What would you say? What would you want from aliens if they did turn up here on this planet of ours, planet Earth? I don't know. Hey, listen, huge reaction to a lot of the stuff that we've been carrying on the show today. Stay tuned, because we've got so much more besides, and your comments. Paddy Common is of the AA Ireland, the Automobile Association. He's with us now. Paddy, good morning to you. Good to have you on the show.
Good morning to you.
Right, your latest survey shows what many of us are seeing at the pumps, and that is the price of petrol and diesel coming down. And they're at the lowest level for quite some time now.
Yeah, they're lowest since about September 2021, and look, there's an asterisk beside that lowest. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not low by any means, and unfortunately, they're artificially low as well because of the reduction that we had on excise duty, which is unfortunately about to go back up again. So, so for anyone who is filling their car, this is probably as low as it's going to be for some time, because from the 1st of June they go back up, and all the way up. When we get back to the 31st of October, they'll be back quite a bit again, unfortunately.
Yeah, but because of the rising price of the core product, the government did make us something like an extra 180 million last year, didn't they, in terms of revenue for their tax on petrol and diesel. Surely they could give us a break for another wee while.
Yeah, you would think, you would hope, but no, look, they always said that they were going to do this for a short period of time, and as well as that, while we have Green Party Minister for Transport, we're always going to see a situation where there's no real incentive for petrol or diesel, unfortunately. So I think there probably would have been some internal friction about the excise duty reductions at the start. So we were unlikely to see that for a long time. But look, fuel prices are reasonable now. But look, they're going back up, as I said, quite soon. 6 cents per litre for petrol and 5 cents per litre for diesel on the 1st of June. Then 1st September again, we see another 7 cents for petrol, 5 cents for diesel, and then it's rounded up on the 31st of October by the final of 8 cents for petrol, 6 cents for diesel, so they will go back up.
And what can we see on the markets in terms of oil prices? I think there's been a slight increase of late. Is that eventually going to come down to the pumps? In other words, we'll see the tax increases, but also the actual price of the product increasing, do you think, as we head into the winter?
Yeah, inevitably, as you said, yeah, there was a slight bump over the last couple of weeks. It was down sort of $74 a barrel, but it has gone up again. But look, you're right. Unfortunately, we seldom see these things coming down dramatically and very quickly, but we will see them increase again. We, a part of the part of the benefit, I suppose, in terms of the diesel pricing was that so-called mild winter across Europe, which meant that diesel wasn't, you know, there's still where the Europe is slightly awash with diesel because there wasn't such huge demand for it. But look, it's a blow, I guess, for people who are looking at lots of expensive bills. You know, even EV drivers aren't escaping this.
I was going to ask you, what's the story with the growing number of EV drivers out there? Do they see the same level of fluctuation in their running expenses?
They wouldn't see the huge fluctuation, I suppose, but they've definitely seen increases. And for people who have an EV, and we're beyond now the stage of the early adopters who really were into the finer details. We're now starting to see EVs becoming quite mainstream. We are seeing quite vast differences between how much people are paying for the electricity for their car. So if you're the average EV driver, we reckon spends about €1,100 per year charging their EV, but you could be as low as €450 if you're using a smart meter charging at night time at certain rates, and you could be as much as €2,100 for the same car if you were using the public charging network, which is pretty much akin, Greg, to using petrol or diesel. If you're paying 75, 76 cents per kilowatt, that is the same as putting petrol or diesel in your car proportionally and cost-wise.
Yeah, and I think really we have to lose this notion that you go green to save money. Do you know what I mean? It was a big selling point, but it's just... and I mean, obviously, then we could have an argument about the overall cost and all that kind of stuff, but it's not really the incentive with reduction in grants and, you know, the running costs not being terribly dissimilar.
Well, you're right. And when we've done surveys in the past about why people choose EVs, primarily the main reason is people hoping to save money. You know, the green credentials are somewhere down the list, and that is starting to balance out. And if we ever got to a stage where domestic electricity was as much as 76 cents per kilowatt, there would be no cost benefit, especially to driving an EV.
All right, listen, great to have you on the programme. No good news, but anyway, look, it is what it is. We can't bury our heads in the sand either. All right, Paddy, thanks very much for your time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Paddy Common there, who is of the AA Ireland. Right, let's get to some of your comments here. The Irish government have deceived its people. They're bringing mass amounts of people, most unvetted. We should have a right to know who's in our towns and villages. We also have to look after our own people first. Yes, help those vulnerable people from war-torn countries, but a lot are coming from countries that the Irish government advertised in, which is not far from any war. They are economic migrants. We have to have a better infrastructure for anyone and it coming to our towns and villages. We are at breaking point. We heard from Deputy Pádraig McLaughlin and others recently that there's lots of people. I've never been vetted in my life, to be honest with you. I've never had to be. But, you know, they are photographed, fingerprinted on arrival, all of them. And Gardaí now tend to be at the door of the aeroplane, checking if people have passports or not, particularly if flights are coming in from parts of Europe. And I suppose, again, you know, I'm not here to influence one way or other. We've heard different views on the programme today. But, you know, we're looking to attract people, say, for instance, to come and work here in IT and to come and work here in our health service. And a lot of them are from overseas. And I just wonder, with the some of the language and mood as it relates to people, particularly those of a darker skin colour, let me put it like that, would they be inclined, if it keeps going like this, to come here at all? Regarding non-nationals not being vetted, irrespective of anyone's view, people must recognise that vetting only captures those who were convicted of any wrongdoing. Our vetting system is nothing but a money-making racket. Why can't we be vetted, say, annually or every few years and carry a card like a safe pass? Ridiculous that an SNA, for example, needs vetting in each school. Surely in a world with such technology available, there should be a more economical and quicker process. And, you know, we have a serious problem in this country with the abuse of children, historic, and it continues, and we're seeing record-breaking figures, and we're seeing our children suffering greater than they ever have with mental health issues. We've got 200,000 children in poverty. I think I would love to see a lot of our attention and worrying and lobbying and Facebook and other groups as well also campaigning to get those children sorted, to get them looked after, to get them protected. There's a great danger right now just in Irish society, amongst Irish people, and we're always looking for what's on the way. We should really be focusing, I think, too, on what's currently going on here. 086 60 25 000, if you have a view on that, or give us a call on 074 91 25 000. Right, Rory O'Sullivan is Executive Engineer with the Central Technical Services Road Design with Donegal County Council. Good morning, Rory.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me on the show.
Good to have you on the programme. Right, the Council are working with the Department of Transport and are inviting people, members of the public and other interested parties, to participate in the first public consultation for the Letterkenny Southern Network project. What is this project?
Yeah, so the Letterkenny Southern Network project aims to develop the transport network around the south of Letterkenny town. Some of the goals would be reducing traffic congestion, supporting compact growth for Letterkenny, and encouraging modal shift. So the project is really about developing the transport networks out of the Swilly.
All right, okay. And you're looking for people's input to see what's required, what they feel might work. Is that the purpose of this process?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose for the listeners, it might be useful just to understand what stage of the project we're at and what they'll get from the public consultation. So we brought on an engineering consultant at the beginning of the year. And the first major step was to identify a study area. So for Letterkenny and for the Southern Network project, to give an idea, the study area in the east would start approximately at the Dry Arch roundabout, stretching to the west end, roughly to Ballymacool Park, north roughly around the Neil T. Blaney Road, and then coming south approximately a kilometre from the Lech Road. So that's the study area that the project is working within. So the first stage, and one of the things that will be discussed during the consultation with the public this Thursday, would be the constraints identified within the study area. So that would be stuff like the existing infrastructure, services, future projects, you know, things like listed building structures, and I guess the topography as well is kind of important if we're putting in place network improvements where you have steep gradients. You know, it becomes unfeasible for putting in roads, pathways, things like that.
Now, I mean, obviously a lot of people would have an interest in this, not to go to Letterkenny, but maybe to head to a different part of the county through Letterkenny. So is this about, so I'm clear, is this about how traffic is moving in that area? Is it much more than traffic? Is it about maybe what options there might be there in terms of some sort of public transport connectivity, or does it encompass all of that?
It's pretty much all encompassing. So I suppose that the first three goals that I mentioned there, I can touch on each one if you like. The traffic congestion.
Yeah, go
first.
Ahead. Yeah.
There's sort of two avenues to that. Traffic congestion, the existing network, a lot of traffic that's traveling through Letterkenny, because of the existing network, you have a lot of unnecessary traffic that's traveling through the town centre to move through Letterkenny. So the project will look at opportunities and avenues to reduce that, which would have a big impact on Letterkenny town centre itself. The other avenue of reducing traffic congestion would be looking at putting in options like park and ride and park and stride, park and walk, whereby, you know, traffic or people are trying to get at the town centre, but by putting in infrastructure and facilities within close distance to the town centre, you're still reducing traffic within the town centre itself. So that would be the traffic congestion side of things. You mentioned to the west of Donegal. So again, that kind of comes through the existing traffic network, whereby coming from the west, traffic is generally, you know, geared and diverted through Letterkenny town centre at the moment. So it's a bit of a barrier to steady flow of traffic to the west and from the west. So I suppose the other points then, compact growth. So if you were to look at the development plan for Letterkenny at the moment, there's large areas of land just south of the Swilly that are identified for growth in terms of housing and businesses. But at the moment, the network capacity just isn't there south of the Swilly. So the project will look at things like additional river crossings of the Swilly and improving the existing network to facilitate compact growth and the housing. You know, the forecasted population for Letterkenny is set to go up significantly over the next number of years. And then the last topic on modal shift would be putting in place facilities that would allow people to move away from sole car dependency for transport in and around Letterkenny. So you'd be hoping to look at avenues like public transport, buses, and then you know, improved cycle and walking facilities for houses that are within, you know, close distance of the city where it makes sense.
Mm, all right, scooters and what have you too are going to be a factor of the future. Okay, there's a lot to talk about. It is a public consultation event taking place in Letterkenny this coming Thursday between 12 p.m. and 8 p.m. It's in the Letterkenny Public Services Centre there on the Neil T. Blaney Road in Letterkenny. And presumably it's run over the 8 hours for people to drop in when it suits them, Rory. Is that you don't want us turning up at 12 and sticking around to 8, I hope.
Oh, you're very welcome if you want. But there'll be...
you'll get the big bucks to do that. I'm not doing 8 hours.
There'll be a public display for 4 weeks following the day of the consultation in the foyer of the public service centre itself, whereby people who can't attend on the day can come and see all of the consultation material, and the project questionnaires will be there as well. We also have a project website, www.lsnp.ie, and there'll be links to all of the consultation material. Mm. Project links if people want to get in touch by email. And it's just an opportunity, I guess, for locals who are directly impacted by the study area, and then the wider community in Letterkenny to come and view the project to get a feel for the timeline. And I guess from our point of view, to try and for us to portray the sort of transformative potential of the project on Letterkenny.
All right. Listen, thanks for your time today. I appreciate it very much. Take care of yourself. That is Rory O'Sullivan, Executive Engineer with the Central Technical Services Road Design with Donegal County Council. A caller believes Kim McMenamin is speaking for a large majority of Buncrana and Inishowen people who are just as concerned about what's going on. Also, how many actual Ukrainian citizens does Mr. Flanagan have housed? Their families, they're not necessarily from Ukraine, is what he said. Why are the people coming into Ireland still being referred to as Ukrainian refugees? Even Mr. Flanagan admitted that one of his residents is Nigerian. I've met several Ukrainians who openly admit that they have never even been to Ukraine. Wow, okay, that's interesting. There's different people coming for different reasons. Ireland should have the same policy as the Czech Republic, not one asylum seeker allowed, pure and simple. We signed up to an agreement internationally some time ago. It's not really something we can get out of. That's just the reality. We signed up to it. Doesn't matter who's in government. That agreement is there. Business people going to have worst tourism season ever this year. I hope the government helps them out, says another listener. 086 60 25,000. WhatsApps and texts. But I think we all have to, as much as possible, talk to each other rather than just having... As much as we can. What's all the fuss about aliens? Sure, they're already here in Leinster House? Wow, okay. hi, what was the two black helicopters over and around the park in Letterkenny yesterday around 4 p.m? Interesting you should say that. I saw the same two, must be the same two helicopters flying in convoy across Donegal Town at probably about 5. Don't know where they were coming from. Probably golfers. There's quite a lot of helicopter traffic into a couple of golf courses around the county as well. I suspect that's what it was. I don't know what else it might have been. Let me see. I want to make sure that everyone feels their voice is being heard here today, but we have literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments. It's astonishing what happens here on the show every day, and we really do appreciate every single one of them. Lots of people talking about priests being moved around. A caller says, at the end of the day, the role of a priest is to guide, instruct, comfort and save souls of parishioners, not people. Please pursue popularity nor fill pews. Priests... Okay, I can't make up. There's a word that's the wrong word. It's auto-spelled check, and I just can't work out the word it's supposed to be. Caller says, I accept the idea of moving priests if there was genuinely good reason. In our parish, a priest had to retire when he didn't want to, and the person put in his place begged not to be put in such a huge parish, and he had health problems and wouldn't fit for it. The bishop went ahead with his plan, and the result is unfair. A caller says, this priest works for the bishop, so what he says goes. Get on with it. Okay. Hi, regarding Father Paddy, we are so blessed to have such a wonderful man grace our lives. Of course, we don't want to let him go, but we can't be selfish either. Father Paddy has to do what he thinks best. I lost my brother, and Father Paddy was a gem. There are so many ways he has been there for so many people. Such a special man with a very special gift. So let someone else be touched by Father Paddy's gift. You see, and what happens too is, you know, you could have a priest. Father Paddy could have confirmed someone. And that person has a connection with him, and then they're getting married and hope, you know, want him to be the person. But that's not how it works. Decisions have to be made, and they have to follow, you know, I mean, the bishop implied too, there's a bit of spiritual guidance there as well. And, you know, I mean, if that's your thing, you know what I mean? It's not right for people to try and say to the bishop, or else it's wrong of people they believe. And although not sure how the bishop makes decisions, but we have a priest in our parish for 22 years, I can't read the rest of that comment because that person would be easily identifiable, and it's just your opinion. But I've read it, okay, and it's noted. I just have to be careful that we don't make the rest of this. It's not bad. It's about holidays and stuff, but I just want to make sure that the person's not identifiable. But we've read it here. I appreciate the sadness of the people of Kilmacrenan. However, as Bishop Allen said, this is a greater call to growth for all. It is about discerning God's call, and we have to trust that the decision discerned by the bishop and priest is guided by the Holy Spirit. Another, it's like any job, people move on. It's not quite, but let's take your point. My prayers are for Bishop Allen, who has have to make tough decisions. If people only go to Mass because of the priest, then they should stay at home. Another, have not been to Mass for a year because of priest changes, numbers dwindling. It's all very sad. Another, people fail to see that Father Paddy has accepted this move, but still people will... you know, it's an expression of love to some extent too, isn't it? Or to a great extent. Current on a community school now is not the time for changing school uniforms when families are struggling to feed themselves. Never mind bring in a school uniform 2 years after releasing the last one. You know, sometimes what we have to do, and I'm not here to preach, is you have to read the room and understand the pressure such a change might have on lots and lots of people. What about putting labels on cans and bottles warning alcohol may cause violence and societal problems? Yeah, I suppose if you're going down the cancer route, that's a fact as well too. Back to the school. I have three children at Carndonagh Community School, so three skirts alone will cost me £150. Never mind the new jumper. Struggling family as it is, never mind this carry-on. I sincerely hope this uniform does not go ahead. Also, one of my girls is in fifth year, meaning a new uniform for her final year. Ridiculous. A lot of mad parents out there. Yeah, listen. As I say, read the room. Counselor support group for bereavement. Greg, I came across yesterday a support group called Cruise, based in Derry. They offer free and confidential support services no matter when the death has occurred. Please tell your listener I am thinking of them. And that's someone who was bereaved looking for a support group. They wanted it around Letterkenny, but maybe Derry's close enough for them. If that person is listening today, I have a number there that we can pass on to you if you want to join that group. So Varadkar's partner apologised for his text sent during the coronation of Westminster at Westminster and says it won't happen again. What does he honestly believe he's getting? Another invite? His childish action has only reinforced people in England's stereotypical view that the Irish can't behave themselves even at the highest level. All right, is that true? Listening to your show, heard that guy saying nothing for the young people in Ireland. We advertised two or three jobs. We never received any interest in any of them. Another, I don't think people are objecting to housing Ukrainians. It's the asylum seekers, mostly young men, who people are concerned about. Why are so many coming to Ireland? We've always had an influx of them. The numbers have been greater the last while, but a lot of people are being displaced for various reasons. As I say, I mean, how long is it since we were talking about Mavilla and elsewhere? Letterkenny, do you remember the big hoo-ha there? It's been going on for ages. Good morning. Kim's exactly right. We do not have any more space left for asylum seekers or refugees. We need to see our own citizens helped first and then see who we can help. Another, what about the Irish who are threatened with violence? What country can they flee to and get what they're getting in Ireland? I don't know, but we flee everywhere. I mean, we're talking about our Irish people deciding to move to other countries. There are homeless people in these other countries as well. There are more Irish people in Australia than there are homeless in Australia. Someone over there could be arguing, send the Irish home and house the Australians. I don't know. They could. Maybe someone is. I don't know. I know we're over there working and it's somewhat different, but you could get a local over there that could take that notion. All these men coming in without any documents and without families, scary, they believe. Look what happened in England. Most of them turn into criminality. I don't think you could say most of them are, but I understand where you're coming from. Right, okay. Read the school uniforms. I don't get the problem. A uniform is supposed to be the same for everyone, not some wearing leggings and some wearing flares. Nurses, guards, etc. wear standardised uniforms. I wonder if those crying loudest about it have the same problem paying out for other unnecessary stuff for their children, such as phones and fashion. But bottom line here is that it's being changed to mark 50 years of the school being opened. Why? I understand it's to mark a particular event, but it's putting families under pressure. And we can't presume that the families under pressure are spending a fortune on phones and fashion as well. There is a lot of people that seem to want to deny that others are living in very difficult circumstances. We get it a lot onto this programme as if the real heartbreaking stories we hear on this programme are not true, that people are lying. How could anyone really be living in poverty in this country? That's the kind of impression you get from some of the remarks. But anyway, we put a poll up on Instagram, by the way, huge reaction to it, heading towards 1,000 votes. We asked the question, with the high cost of living, we asked, have you noticed a high increase in prices with your weekly shop? Not surprising, 90% of you said yes, massively. 2% says not really, a minority. 8% saying it differs week on week. So 9 out of 10 of you listening to this programme and interacting with us on social media, 9 out of 10 of you have seen a massive increase in your weekly shop. And another poll just to catch up on. 7 in 10 adults have no experience working on a building site or learning trade skills. We asked, have you experience in the above? 14% of you say yes. I'm one of those. I worked on building sites for 6 or 7 years. 86% of you said no, never got your hands dirty. My hands are just about recovering now. Of course you got your hands dirty in different areas, you know what I'm saying. I'm only joking. All right, okay. Gregory, smart meter installations. Could you please make people aware that by signing up to this installation, the meter readers will lose their jobs and that the products provided with the meter will cost extra to the normal bill? Thanks. Some of the nighttime saver deals that you can get with a smart meter, I don't like them because the electricity during the day is more expensive. Yes, it's cheaper at night, but I don't want to put my washing machine, dishwasher or dryer on at night. I don't really use them much anyway, but you know what I mean. Everyone's going to end up with a smart meter anyway because it's only a year or two until they say that your meter's playing up. It doesn't work with the current infrastructure. We're going to have to put a smart meter in. So you can resist for now, but it's probably going to be futile in the end. We don't want to see anyone losing their jobs, but look at, I see people every day queuing up at tills in shops where there are no people working. I remember 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, there were campaigns, don't use them. Don't now. Everyone uses them, it seems. Not everyone, sorry. A lot of people use them. So people put up token brief resistance as well, meaning as it is. But it just seems that things just end up happening anyway. Do you ever get that feeling? I'm not saying we should give in, but... And just for clarity, in relation to our commitment that we signed up for, we voluntarily signed up to the EU Relocation and Resettlement Scheme. It was originally set up in relation to the migrant crisis in 2015. We've never been forced by the EU to take in refugees or immigrants for that matter. It's something that we chose to do. And because of the Lisbon Treaty, we could choose not to do it as well. David on Facebook's pointed that out as well. So just to recognise that that is an option that Ireland has. Greg, I'm open to contradiction, but to my knowledge, is Ireland or Denmark signed up to taking immigrants? We are not obliged to take them. Yes, sorry, you've by pure coincidence just handed to me. We have opt-in, opt-out. We decided to opt-in. to take them, but we can opt out if we were to so wish. And as I say, I believe that's a provision of the Lisbon Treaty. But presumably the government, wanting us to be good Europeans, decided to voluntarily sign up to that commitment. A caller says, Irish people have jobs to go to. They do not go to leech off other countries. That's a terrible statement. These people that come to Ireland are deserting their own country that probably needs them to build their country, not to cast it aside. It was not a terrible statement because it's not intended that way. My point was is that it is possible that you could get a group of individuals in another country that could turn on us at some point. And and I did recognise that we're over there working and contributing. But I also says that it is possible that someone could make this connection between us in houses in different countries and homeless people not having houses, which is a fact. But I don't think it was a terrible statement because it was not meant with any bad intent. It was just to say that the shoe at some point potentially could eventually end up on the other foot. Hi, Greg. Can you imagine the Australian treating our young Irish the way the people of Ireland are treating true war victims? And I think it really comes down to whether or not you believe the people coming to Ireland are escaping something that is of great threat to their life, or they're coming here because the money's good. That seems to be where much of the debate lies. Could you ask him, Greg, when Lurgy Brack is going to be sorted? It's a disaster. You have emergency services using side roads because they can't get onto the roundabout at the bottom of the hill. He couldn't answer a direct question like that because it's not under his remit or the purpose of the interview. But you've put it out there now and someone else can have their view as well. To give hope to these people, the people of Stranraer... I've read that one already, I beg your pardon. Since our parish priest left, not a young person is seen at Mass. Such a loss to the youth. And although the people should think of Father Paddy and not of themselves, I feel for the new priests. I hope the new priests understand that this is an outpouring of love and affection towards Father Paddy and not a reflection on them. And I'm sure they're around long enough to understand that. And they will, when they take over, I'm sure they'll reference that. I'm sorry to hear the sad news that Father Paddy Dunn is to be removed to another parish. During COVID and to this day, a lot of people from our parish still follow Father Paddy on Facebook and churchservices.ie with his Mass and rosaries. He's a wonderful, caring priest. Wish we had such a great priest in our parish. Our priest has not the time for his parishioners, with him being busy elsewhere outside the parish. We've got no Sunday funeral services, no Sunday christenings, and our Easter and Christmas services have to fit into his busy schedule. He's been here quite some time now, and in that time we've left and went to other parishes. So weddings, christenings and funerals have been taking place in other parishes, including some of my family. Please God, Kilmer Crennan can keep such a great priest, but I don't hold much hope with what the bishop said. He won't want to be seen to change his mind. Please do not say, okay, I get you. No, that's no problem. All right, thank you. Hi, Greg. Sad to hear about another incident regarding protest against asylum seekers. The government are to blame, our country is on its knees in regards to the health service and housing crisis, and they still have the door open to these people, some genuine, others not. It's happening all over the country, these protests. Last week, Dublin, now Donegal and County Clare. Tractors are blocking roads in protest. Just look at Sweden. They opened their borders. Now the country is in mayhem. Shooting in school grounds out of control. Enough is enough. Our own people are being neglected. There is no vetting system or anything in place. The Gardaí cannot cope with the added workload. Time to put strict regulations in place or our country is in dire danger. Let me see where else. It's shameful behaviour for our representatives at the coronation of King Charles. Well, Matt is not our representative. He's Leo's guest. He doesn't represent me anyway. He was over there in a private capacity. But I'll read on because I think the texter references that. It's shameful behaviour for our representative at the coronation of Britain's King Charles. I know Leo said Matt was there as a private citizen. I don't know whether any other private citizens who were invited. The bypass road at Bonagie over the Swilly seems to be lost in the 10T project and four-lane project. The town bus has been a failure. That comes in from Daniel, who's not too enamoured with everything, with what is going on. Right, another caller says, I was looking to buy a house. It was recommended that we carry out a MICA test, and the results came back 3%, which is well under the given spec. So we were going to proceed with the purchase, but then someone said that most insurance companies are no longer covering houses with any level of MICA in them. If we had owned our home and previously had it insured before the test, then they have to keep covering it, but not with a new buy. Does anyone know what the situation is with this? So they got a test, low levels of mica in the concrete, though at this point you really should be checking for other minerals, but I take your point. Can you get insurance with 3% mica in a block? A few weeks ago, I had an energy provider at the door and signed up to what I thought was a fabulous deal. I was told I had 14 days cooling off period if I changed my mind. Having read the small print, I realised it wasn't such a hot deal and went to cancel it, thinking I was well within my 14 days cooling off period, only to discover the 14 days started the day the fellow was at my door and not from receiving the contract. Hence, I was tied in and couldn't get out of it. We went together as a group and, only by chance I discovered a few of my neighbours signed up for what they thought was the same great deal. We went together as a group and eventually they had to accept we had been hoodwinked and let us out of the contract. I did want to warn others, if it sounds too good to be true, think carefully. It most likely is. So that's an interesting one. The 14 days cooling off period was from the day the fella got you to sign at the front door, not from when you actually received the contract from the provider. So well worth keeping that in mind. Morning, Greg. I did that school run every morning and evening for 12 years. This is the first time I've been doing it. Parents need to take some responsibility too. The number of cars that come out, the exit at the top. This is Lurgybrack National School, by the way. This is at the top of the big hill heading out of Letterkenny for those not from the area. I did that school run every morning and evening for 12 years. This is the first year I haven't been doing it. Parents need to take some responsibility too. The number of cars that come out the exit at the top and turn down the hill when two lines of traffic are coming. I witnessed it so many times. Where am I here? Oh yeah, how there hasn't been a major incident there, I don't know. Well done to Jimmy Kavanagh for highlighting this. Okay, not going to have time for that, I don't think, Caroline. So get out there and bring me something else. Thanks very much indeed. I've about a minute and a half. Good morning, Greg. I've been inquiring about the supposed door-to-door provided by Local Link for people with mobility issues. It seems there is no such service provided in my area. I was informed by Local Link that there is no demand for the service, therefore a service is not provided. I am, for one, in need of this service. How many others are out there and have been told the same thing? I think this is in and around the Kilmacrenan and Milford area. I'm open to correction on that. They've been told that in that area there isn't a door-to-door service. They go on to say that people with mobility issues in our community need this service, which is paid for by the taxpayer. Why is it not being provided? Greg, perhaps you could inquire on our behalf and maybe something will be done about it, given the wonderful influence you have when raising such community concerns. Well, that's a very nice comment of yours, and I really do appreciate it. We've contacted Local Link to find out what the situation is there. We don't know off the top of our heads, but we'll find out if there is a demand for a door-to-door service in those areas, and if there is, why it's not happening. Passport delays. Are you suffering big passport delays? I know there's a few people getting caught out here. This listener applied for a passport in January, still not received it yet. Listen, I would check in with that because we applied for a passport recently and I got it done in the local Garda station, which isn't a 24-hour Garda station. And I was sitting there waiting for it to arrive, as you might. And it turns out that the passport office had called the Garda barracks five times. They called them five times seeking to speak to the guard who witnessed the form, and they couldn't get hold of them. And it kind of threw the whole process out again and delayed everything by months, and any sort of half notions of plans that we had went out the window. So double check. And you know, local TDs are pretty good for this type of stuff as well. But if you have not received your passport from January and it's a standard renewal, there's something seriously amiss there. If it was a first timer for a baby, maybe there's some sort of a arguable reason as to why, but I think if it's just a standard-ish renewal, it should certainly have come through by now. Rightio. I just want to remind you, by the way, that if you've missed any of today's show, and it was a particularly interesting one, and thank you to all of you who listened to the show and the hundreds of you that watch the show on different platforms every day. It's really greatly appreciated. But if you missed any of the program or if you want to catch up again, don't forget we podcast the show on our website. It's broken into three parts, into 3 hours for you to listen at your leisure. It's also available for you to rewatch back on our YouTube channel. So you can watch back the show every single day, and most of the previous shows are there as well. And also, if you struggle to sleep, let me help you because the show is rebroadcast at 1 o'clock every night for the lots of people actually that listen then. And if you do and you want to text in, by the way, just text a WhatsApp 086 60 25 000, and we can carry your comments over into the next morning show. But that's where we have to leave it today. Thank you very much indeed to Caroline Orr, who researched and produced the show, assisted by Niamh, helping out Caroline and working our social media. We're back with you tomorrow morning at 9. Stay tuned. Job Breslin's up next around the Northwest.